It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
This is the Fox News Rundown Extra. I'm Dave Anthony. Today, someone is lacing up his shoes, getting ready to go running for president. Then again, Francis Suarez might decide not to. But the mayor of Miami, Florida, is considering joining the 2024 Republican race, which got two more runners this past week. Senator Tim Scott from South Carolina and Florida Governor Ron DeSantis. But Mayor Suarez thinks he may be a fresher alternative than the other challengers to the GOP frontrunner, former President Donald Trump. Now, our conversation with the mayor was too long to fit into our regular rundown podcast we posted on Friday, but we want you to hear everything he said as he made his case for why he'd make a good candidate for the White House if he runs. So today we give you the entire conversation, and as always, we thank you for listening. And on this Memorial Day weekend, we give thanks to all the Americans who died fighting for the freedoms we have in this country. Now, the mayor of Miami, Florida, Francis Suarez, on the Fox News Rundown Extra. Joining us on the Fox News Rundown is Mayor Francis Suarez, the mayor of Miami, Florida, as we have just witnessed Florida's governor, Ron DeSantis, enter the Republican presidential race, making the 2024 Republican field a little more crowded. First of all, Mayor Suarez, thanks very much for being with us.
Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to be with you.
And second, what do you think of your governor now, a candidate for president?
Well, you know, I'm not surprised that he chose to launch his candidacy from the city of Miami. Highlighting the very good job that we've done here in Miami, that I've done in Miami. And I'll tell you that if I decide to run for president, I will also be highlighting the job that I've done in Miami. You know, we have lowered taxes to the lowest level in history. We've seen 12% growth, which is the second most we've ever had. We focused on keeping people safe, which is a problem in urban America. We had the lowest per capita homicide rate since 1964. And this year, our numbers are shockingly better. We've gone down by 40% in homicides, 77% in shootings, and an additional 40% in contact shootings. So we've never been safer as a city. And we focused on innovation. We're number one in wage growth, and we have the lowest unemployment in the country. So it's not surprising that the governor would want to come here, because we've created an atmosphere that brings innovators and creators to this community. We've brought $2.5 trillion in assets under managed companies to Miami. So a tremendous amount of people who donate to presidential candidates are here, thanks to my leadership and what we've done. And we've also changed the politics of Miami. You know, he decided not to do it in Jacksonville, where his congressional district is, because Jacksonville, the candidate that he supported just lost the race for mayor, and it's flipped -28 for Democrats. While in Miami-Dade County, since I've been the mayor, it's gone +40 for Republicans. So I know the governor likes to emphasize that he's a winner, but recently the evidence points in a different direction as he criticizes the former president.
All right. So he is second in the latest Fox News poll. He's at 20%. Of course, former President Trump is way out in front. He has 53%. Your name was on the list of candidates they asked voters about, and you didn't get any support in the Fox poll. What will you do? How will you make a name for yourself if you decide to get out there on the campaign trail?
You know, as a wise coach once said, I got him right where I want him.
Okay.
which is, look, I think what's going to happen in 2024 is the country is obviously, first of all, very disenchanted with Joe Biden's America, right? This is an America where the poor get poorer and where America gets weaker. So how does the poor get poorer? Runaway federal spending, you've got a situation where inflation is making regular everyday people have less purchasing power in their bank account, and borrowing costs are going up. So people who want to borrow money, it's more expensive. People who want to buy goods, groceries, gasoline, it's more expensive. So Joe Biden's America is failing. And I think we've also projected weakness internationally, which has caused dictators like Vladimir Putin to take risks that you hoped he would never take and put the world's stability in jeopardy. And then he's let China just run completely amok. We give China $1 trillion of our wealth annually in the form of a trade deficit and allowing them to steal our IP. And they invest that money in our hemisphere and in our technology to destabilize us. So Joe Biden's America is completely broken. If he were to get reelected, the hope of the American dream would vanish. And then I think you look to the other side, and the question is, do Republicans want to give the former president another opportunity, or do they potentially want to go in a different direction? And I think, when I say I've got them right where I want them, what I mean is, a lot of the people that would potentially try to make the argument that we should go in another direction are well known and have not really gotten the kind of enthusiastic embracing that you would hope if you're going to be the alternative. And so I think being a fresh alternative, being someone who's relatively or basically unknown, gives people a starting point by which they can build that alternative candidacy, right? So how do I sort of put that all together? I think it has to be someone that's generational. And I don't mean generational as like a buzzword. I mean it's someone who's proven to create generational change in their leadership, which I've done in Miami. I think it's got to be someone who has a positive vision for the future. There's so much division and negativity in our country. It's tearing us apart. What do our enemies want? They want us to be divided. China, Russia, Iran, North Korea, Cuba, they want us to be divided. That is our kryptonite. So we need somebody that can inspire us, that can bring us together. I've done that in a city that used to be registered Democrat, and now I won it by 85% and 80% in my reelection. I think they want someone who can grow the party. And I'll tell you that there aren't many candidates that can penetrate like I can, voters under 30 that Biden won by 26 points, urban areas like the one that I won, right? And I'm the president of the U.S. Conference of Mayors. And I think Hispanic voters who are trending Republican because Democrats have been completely incompetent in how they've messaged Democrats by calling them Latinx or by saying, that they're as unique as San Antonio tacos, which is what the first lady said. I think by contrast, you have the possibility of a Hispanic candidate who speaks their languages, who understands the nuances of their culture and who can connect with them.
Now, Florida's governor, Ron DeSantis, has said a lot of the same things you've said in his argument that he can do for America what he's done for Florida. He's talked about Florida being a success story, that he's turned a Democrat state. He won by 19 points in his reelection, that his Florida COVID policies and what he's done has driven Republicans to want to go to the state. So he's that leader, he thinks. Why not support him?
Well, for a lot of reasons. I think the first is, the messaging is not positive. The messaging is often negative. And I don't think that that's what people are looking for. I think when given a choice, people want someone who's inspiring, who's aspirational, and who can provide them a vision of a better tomorrow than yesterday. I think the fact that the governor has never spent any significant time in the private sector is something that he has in common with President Biden. To be frank, and I think that's what causes him, to take a winning issue like, parental control of children's education, which we all agree on. There's no reason why schools and not parents should decide what children are being taught in terms of sexuality, when they're young, and then make it into what appears to be something personal and driven by some sort of personal or spiteful decision and get in a fight with the largest employer in his state and have that person pull back billions of dollars of investments and thousands of jobs. Those are jobs that would go to people in his state and that would employ people and create prosperity. But what I've done is invited people to our city. And that's why we're number one in wage growth. We're number one in technology job growth. And we're number one in direct foreign investment. We've created the conditions for prosperity, and which is, you know, also why we have the lowest unemployment rate in America. You know, he didn't announce in his congressional district in Jacksonville. He didn't announce in Orlando. He announced in Miami. And he did that because he knows that Miami is really the shining beacon of hope and prosperity and freedom in the state of Florida.
Now, in your state, you do, of course, have the other side of this. The other day, the NAACP issued a travel advisory that your state is openly hostile toward African Americans, people of color, and LGBTQ plus individuals. The Human Rights Campaign, which is an LGBTQ plus group, issued its own advisory saying gay travelers and minorities are at risk when they go to Florida. What's your reaction to that?
Look, my reaction is, you know, Miami and Florida, for that matter, is incredibly inviting and incredibly, you know, a place where people feel comfortable and confident traveling. That's never been an issue. That's never been a problem in our community. And so I think this is obviously, you know, something that's a political statement that they're trying to make. You know, travel advisories are serious. They're for like terrorists. They're for storms, you know, things that create sort of a physical harm. They shouldn't be used cavalierly to try to make political statements. I think, everyone who comes to Miami knows we were actually rated. This is interesting. We're rated the happiest city in America and the healthiest city in America. So I think to suggest that a city like Miami or a state like Florida is not welcoming to everyone is just inaccurate.
From the Fox News Podcasts Network.
I'm Janice Dean, Fox News senior meteorologist. Be sure to subscribe to the Janice Dean Podcast at foxnewspodcast.com or wherever you listen to your podcasts. And don't forget to spread the sunshine.
You obviously are in a community that has a large Cuban and Latin population in Miami. We've had a lot in the last couple of years of focus on illegal immigration in the country. We had the surge of illegal border crossings right before the Title 42 border policy ended. Yep. The surge apparently has backed off some since then. What would you do? What do you think should be done to deal with this issue?
Well, I think everyone agrees that first we have to secure the border, right? You have not just a migrant crisis, a migration crisis, but you have a fentanyl crisis at the border. And as I've traveled, particularly to the early primary states like Iowa, New Hampshire, South Carolina, Nevada, and when you go to the cities in all these states, they have fentanyl crises. So this is not something that's a border issue. This is something that's a national issue. And when you contextualize that with the fact that 80,000 to 90,000 Americans are dying of fentanyl overdoses, that's the equivalent of a 747 crashing every single day. Imagine if that were to happen, that kind of tragedy, the entire nation would be focused on how to stop it. And Joe Biden has not done that. His policies like catch and release and the lifting of Title 42 have just exacerbated the problem. I think that's number one. I think number two, you gotta look at China. You've got, like I said, a country where we're giving $1 trillion of wealth to, and they're using that money to subvert us in our hemisphere. So whereas, during the last administration, you know, you had three or four problem countries that were socialist and communist in Cuba and Nicaragua and Venezuela. Now you have Mexico, you have Colombia, you have Brazil, you have Argentina, you have Chile, who have all gone to the left. That creates suffering, and that creates poverty, which creates more immigration pressure on the United States. So we've got to undo that. And by the way, that's a strategic imperative for the country, because what we saw during COVID is that a big part of our supply chain is in the hands of communist China, and that is a national security issue for us, including but not limited to microchips. I think we have to focus on, right-sizing legal immigration, because immigration should be legal and orderly. And in a city like Miami, where you have a 1.8% unemployment, you know, we need employees, and we want Americans to do the job that are available. So we have to look at that. That's the initial framework for dealing with immigration. I guess I would also say that as a Hispanic Republican, I think I would have a lot more credibility if I decide to run as a negotiator, on this issue. And I also think it would take away the argument that any deal on immigration would be something that would benefit the Republican Party.
On the left, there is a push for the comprehensive immigration reform in Congress, and that would include a pathway to citizenship for those who came to the U.S. illegally. What's your view on that?
Look, I think the problem with that is that, you know, there are people, many people, who have come to this country legally, who've waited in line, who have paid their dues, and who have done it the right way. And what we don't want to do is, number one, incentivize more people to do it illegally. And number two, we want to be respectful of those who did it legally. And so I think, you know, you have to find, you know, no one really argues in this debate that there is a logistical way that you can remove those people from the country. But I do think, you know, we have to figure out who they are. We have to know if they're a national security threat or not. We have to figure out what kind of status short of citizenship they may be able to be given so that they can become productive members of our country if we don't have the logistical means of deporting them.
As you are raising your profile and considering a run for the White House, just the other day, the Miami Herald puts out a report alleging that you, as the mayor of Miami, may have crossed the line in working with developers, giving them some support and cutting red tape in the city on a project, a Coconut Grove development project. And, you know, you're allowed as a paid consultant, but they think you've crossed the line, and that's what the allegations are. Your response?
Yeah, my response is they're a liberal publication that has been trying to discredit Hispanic Republicans in our community for decades. You know, they allege that a meeting occurred that no one in the meeting says occurred. And that's the basis of their allegation. They've shown no evidence of that. And this is, again, you know, look, every single Republican conservative, unfortunately, has to go through this with the media. You know, the former president has been the subject of potential political prosecutions. Even my governor, the governor of the state of Florida, they just put out an article, I think it was the New York Times, saying that he flew illegally or unethically on a private plane with a donor who was trying to influence him legislatively. I mean, this kind of stuff is just sickening. You know, the last thing that the Miami Herald wants is a mayor who's the president of the U.S. Conference of Mayors, who has lowered taxes, who has lowered crime to the lowest level ever, and who has created more prosperity than ever, becoming a poster child for what Hispanic Republicans can be across the country. I am their biggest threat. And because of that, they're going to do anything they can through innuendo, through falsehoods, through fake news to try to bring me down. And it's not going to stop. You know, and the truth is, you know, if you're going to run for president, I say this sort of as I make these deliberations, you're going from, you know, in terms of being the mayor, because there's never been a mayor that's ascended directly to the White House. You're going from, up from the minor leagues to the big leagues, and you're going to get the 100 mile per hour high heat chin music from the press, right? And you know, we know what print media is and what it has become in this country. And unfortunately, they're into the politics of personal destruction and trying to hurt people that don't agree with them.
Mayor, it's Memorial Day weekend coming. We have the first Republican presidential debate on Fox News Channel in August. The contests start early next year. When will you decide whether or not you're actually going to run?
Look, the decision time is quickly approaching. You have to meet two criteria to be on the debate stage. One of them is a polling criteria of at least 1%, and the other one is having 40,000 unique contributors. That takes a little time. And so you don't want to procrastinate too much or take too much time. At the same time, there's been a lot of dynamics at play, and this is a very serious decision that I take very seriously with my family. It's you know, it is a decision that, you know, running for president is the most a difficult gauntlet. I mean, as you can see by the Miami Herald attacks, right? It's the most serious gauntlet that you go through in terms of scrutiny. And I think, you know, it's a decision that shouldn't be made lightly. At the same time, you know, I'm blessed to be the first mayor of Miami ever elected. The first Miami-born mayor ever elected in my city's 127-year history. And I was elected by 85% and reelected by 80%. And I think that's because the residents know that I'm doing a tremendous job, and I love the job that I do. But I also love this country. You know, my parents exiled from their country of birth, which was Cuba, where a leader there told them, give me all your property, give me all your businesses. Don't worry, we'll make everybody equal. And they did. They made everybody equally poor and equally miserable. And we've seen that story play out time and time again. And my fear is that it's playing out also in American cities. And I think we need a leader who can channel the American dream and the American spirit in a way that can connect with voters across the country to inspire them to look boldly into the future.
Well, it sounds like you really want this.
I'm getting close to making the decision. And, I think at the end of the day, there's a couple of additional boxes that we have to check. And obviously, it's a prayerful conversation with your family and your friends. And it's a matter of faith. And then eventually I'll make the decision one way or the other, and I'll let the world know.
Mayor Francis Suarez, Mayor, Miami, Florida, potential presidential candidate. Great to talk to you. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
You've been listening to the Fox News Rundown. And now, stay up to date by subscribing to this podcast at foxnewspodcasts.com. Listen ad-free on Fox News Podcasts Plus on Apple Podcasts. And Prime members can listen to the show ad-free on Amazon Music. And for up-to-the-minute news, go to foxnews.com. New from the Fox News Podcasts Network.
My name is Kennedy, and welcome to my podcast, which will, I humbly say, single-handedly save the world. You're welcome.
It's Kennedy Saves the World. Subscribe and listen now by going to foxnewspodcasts.com. Kudlow on Fox Business is now on the go for podcast fans. Get key interviews with the biggest business newsmakers of the day. The Kudlow podcast will be available on the go after the show every weekday at foxbusinesspodcasts.com or wherever you download your favorite podcasts.